One of the new businesses today, maybe that's hitting America, is identity theft protection. You know, people are concerned about their identity, and rightly so. People are stealing their identity, using it for the wrong purposes. Just about anywhere you go nowadays, just about anything you want to do, except for maybe voting, you need to have identification for. Identity is important. If you want to get a library card, or you want to go to the hospital, or a number of things, most of them require identification. And as believers, identification is important. Our spiritual identity is important. In Hosea chapter 12, we're going to look at what God identified Israel as. We're going to look at three aspects of identification this evening from this passage. And hopefully we can realize really how important our identity is, and realizing what shapes that identity, and how we can protect that identity that has been given to us. If you have the wrong identity, hopefully you can change it. But Hosea chapter 12 and verse 7 says, "He is a merchant." The word there, merchant, is actually the word for Canaan, a Canaanite. The balances of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. And Ephraim said, "Yet I am become rich. I have found me out substance. In all my labors they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. And I that am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles as in the days of the solemn feast. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal. Yea, their altars are as heaps in the furrows of the fields. And Jacob fled into the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him." In verse number 7 of Hosea 12, God calls Israel a merchant. All right, it's interesting, the word here, merchant, is the word for a Canaanite, probably not known for their honest dealings. They may have not been known for their honest dealings. They would have been known, though, for being merchant men. But I think here, we're in the Word of God here, where it's calling Israel here a merchant with this terminology, it's really showing Israel what they had become. You know, Israel was to come to the land of Canaan, was to drive out the inhabitants of the land, was to separate themselves from their false worship, and was to become a special people unto God. But instead of doing that, they became like the people of the land. And as we'll see, they didn't even realize what they truly were like. We find, first of all, that your actions provide your true identity. You know, in the New Testament, the people prided themselves in saying, the Jews prided themselves in saying that they were the children of Abraham. But their actions proved otherwise. And Christ said to them, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Our actions show, can provide our true identity. Notice what Christ says. He is a merchant, and he backs up what he is saying here. He says, "The balances of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress," or he loves to defraud other people. And so the Israelites, as we've found in other places, when it talks about them, like the last verse of chapter 11, Ephraim compasseth me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. Their whole lives were compassed about with falsehood, even in, down to the very business practices that they performed. They were deceitful. They were fraudulent in their behavior. And their actions were showing their identification. You know, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20, what does it say? Well, it talks about how their fruits, by their fruits you shall know them. Let me read the verse quickly. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, verse 19 and 20. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Just like when we walk out into an orchard and you see a tree with apples on it. You're going to call it a what? Yeah, a pear tree. Well, an apple tree. You know, and you know how many apples grow on trees? All of them do. So you walk out into an orchard and you identify the tree, you know, by its fruit. If it doesn't have fruit on it, then there's other things that you can look at to identify the tree. But your fruit identifies who you are. And Israel, although God had chosen them as His special people, their actions were showing them to be something other than maybe what they would have called themselves. Instead of reflecting the God of truth, they became fraudulent in their behavior. And God says He is a merchant. He is a Canaanite. You know, the Canaanites were the ones that were under the curse of Ham. He is a Canaanite. You know, if God, He is a merchant, if God said what you were tonight, what would it be? You know, if God said from heaven tonight who you were and your identity, what would He say? At the baptism of Jesus Christ, what did He say? He said, "This is my what? My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But what would the Father say of us tonight if He identified who we truly were? And John the Baptist, what did he say? Matthew 3 and verse 8, to those that came to be baptized, the religious crowd, he said, bring forth what? Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Show by your actions who you truly are. So we find that our actions provide our true identity. You know, the Bible, it says in Proverbs, even a child is known by his what? By his doings. Whether his work be pure, whether it be right. What do our actions say about who we are this evening? It's interesting what Ephraim said about himself. Verse 8 says, and Ephraim said, yet I am become rich. I have found me out substance. Notice here, in all my labors, they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. Now we're going to look at the second part of the verse and then we'll come to the first part of the verse. But in the second part, in all my labors, they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. So it's interesting here. Ephraim says the exact opposite of what God says about him. There's no sin in me. We find here that, you know, your surroundings can hide or mask your true identity. You know, you get around, you live in and amongst sinners, among sinners. And what's going to happen to what you think about yourself? Well, you're not going to think you're so bad. You know, and Israel was living, you know, most of them had turned to falsehood. You know, there was people of other lands that they were around. And their behavior no longer was maybe as appalling to them as it should have been, because of the surroundings that they had placed themselves in. You know, Israel's standard had changed from the Word of God to the people around them. In verse later on in this chapter, it really gives the standard. Well, the next verse here, or verse 10, two verses later, it says, "I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets." This should have been their standard, the word that they had been receiving from God. But it wasn't. Because if they would have known that, they wouldn't have said, "In all my labors they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin." Remember what it says in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed," what? "For lack of knowledge." They were not listening to the words of God. You think of fundamentalism today, and those that would say that they are historic, some of those that would say that they are historic fundamentalists. Well, you know what? They have been deceived as to their true identity by those that they have surrounded themselves with. And because they have surrounded themselves with other people that may call themselves historic fundamentalists, they think they're a historic fundamentalist. And so then whenever they see something different, you know, they maybe react to it. But if we want to be what we ought to be, we better surround ourselves with the Word of God. We better surround ourselves with what He has said in His Word. But Israel, instead of surrounding themselves with what the message of the prophets has said, instead of listening to them, they became entranced, so to speak, by the people around them. I think of the Laodicean church, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." You know, this lukewarm church, they might have looked at themselves, looked at the others in their church, thought they were just fine. You know, but if they would have looked at the Lord, if they would have looked at His Word and saw their real condition, they would have understood where they were at. You know, it talks in the Word of God how it is unwise to compare ourselves amongst ourselves with others. We are to compare ourselves with God. We are to keep the Word of God as our standards. You know, people around us will change. If you get your standards from the people around you, you are going to change. But if you get your standards from the unchanging Word of God, you will stay the same when the people around you change. Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." You know, we live in a changing world. And if you study history, you can see how things have changed. And you can see Christians' responses to those changes that have taken place. You know, it's like I remember going to, a meeting down in Illinois with my dad a long time ago, some type of a preacher's meeting, I remember Pastor Van Gelderen, I think, gave us a workshop at this meeting, and it must be about 15, 20 years ago now. And you know, you've probably seen the illustration before, but he said, you know, one of the problems is, you know, the world was right here, and Christians were back here, you know, and as the world kept going further and further into sin, well, Christians just kind of, you know, kept their distance from it. You know, they stayed away from the world, they weren't quite with it, but instead of staying over here, when the world went that way, they just kind of stayed their same distance behind it. You know, and as the world gets further that way, if we just keep in those same surroundings, so to speak, it's not going to look like what we're doing is all that bad. But if we keep our surroundings in the Word of God and what He has said, and around people that are living for God, those kinds of things are going to keep, they're going to look bad. But Israel, what it was doing, it says, in all my labors they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. You know, there's nothing wrong with what I am doing. But if they would have listened to the prophets, they would have realized the clarity of their sin, how wrong it was. The first part of the verse, it says here, and Ephraim said, yet I am become rich. I have found me out substance. So what does he use as his reason for what he was doing? Well, we find that prosperity is not the standard for a good or a right identity. Now, how do you determine a good identity? Well, my identity is fine. Who I am, what I am purported to be is fine because I am experiencing prosperity. Well, no, that is not the standard for a good identity. You know, the Laodicean church was rich. Hey, they were experiencing prosperity. But what did God say about them? They're miserable and poor and blind and naked. And if we determine our standard of where we are at in life by simply our circumstances, you know, we have committed a great error. You know, think of the Russian believers. If they determined what they were doing, the rightness or wrongness of what they were doing by how prosperous they were physically, many of them would have gotten discouraged and quit. I mean, why? They were experiencing persecution. I mean, they were being put down. Now, obviously, spiritually, what happened? They flourished. But prosperity is not the standard for a good identity. It says, I am become rich. I have found me out substance. They were experiencing a measure of prosperity. And you look at Psalm 73 and the psalmist Asaph looked at the wicked and was like, boy, they are experiencing some good things. And he got his eyes on them. But he failed to realize the end of the wicked, that they would be brought to destruction in a moment. And Ephraim was maybe looking around himself. Doesn't look too bad. Everyone else is doing this. The nations around us are doing this. Experiencing some prosperity. You know, we must be doing okay. But God had a different idea, a different outcome for them. Verse 13. He says, or 14. He says, Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly, showing the heinousness here of his sin. He had provoked God to anger most bitterly. But yet, what was Ephraim saying? I am become rich. I have found me out substance. In all my labors, they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. Hey, I'm okay. There's no problem with me. I'm fine. Notice the end, though. When you make prosperity your standard, it says, therefore shall he leave his blood upon him. Blood there, I believe, is in the plural. His blood's upon him, showing really the disparity of their wickedness. And his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. Now, what was to be the punishment of those that had blood upon their hands? Somebody that had blood on their hands, God did not, that was something that was viewed very seriously. In Ezekiel chapter 18, it says in verse 10, it says, if he beget a son, that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any one of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten up upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. Notice, his blood shall be upon him. And God says here, he says, therefore shall he leave his blood upon him. His blood's upon him. This was a terrible act that they had committed. And it was going to result in their destruction. And one of the reasons is they had the wrong standard for their identity. There's some prosperity. We're experiencing prosperity. We must be okay. You know, sometimes there can be a measure of prosperity in a person's life when they're away from God. Maybe, I'm not saying spiritually, but physically. Maybe they experience a measure of prosperity. And if they make that the standard, now they think they're okay because, you know, physically look around, things are okay. Well, they are heading down a dangerous road. Because what can happen to that prosperity? Well, it can be gone just like that. You know, think of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, those many of those people were probably experiencing what? Prosperity. I mean, Lot looked towards there. I mean, the well-watered plains of Sodom. And that's where he wanted to go, and eventually moved right into the city. And maybe he thought his family was experiencing a measure of prosperity. You know, but when the fire of God came down upon those cities, all that prosperity was gone just like that. You know, and if we have a pragmatic philosophy of life, and simply because something seems to be working out in the present, we think it's okay, we are headed for destruction. Pragmatism only looks to the here and now, but faith looks to the future. You know, we might be sitting there thinking, well, we're okay, or we might be looking at somebody else thinking, man, it looks like they're making the wrong choices, but things seem to be working out right now for them. Well, we have lost sight of faith. And we have put our eyes upon the here and now. And Israel, instead of believing the prophets that God had sent them, he had multiplied visions, he had used similitudes, he had used pictures in trying to illustrate this truth to them to make the truth clear. And in Hosea, there are pictures that God uses. One is, verse chapter 10, where he refers to them as an empty vine. He uses these pictures to try to give them the truth, but they would not hear. Instead, they looked around them. Things seemed to be going okay. Must not be too bad. Now I wonder tonight, do you base what your family does by the outcome of that event? You know, and maybe, you know, maybe you shouldn't be doing something, but things seem to be working out okay, so it must be okay. Or do you take the word of God, and this is what God says is going to happen? You know, even though no one else around me is doing it, this is what God's word says, and so I am going to live by the standard of God's word instead of measuring myself with those around me. Or instead of measuring it by the here and now outcome, instead of recognizing the future that choice is going to bring upon my life. You know, people that say, well, I mean, hey, these Christian rock concerts, I mean, some people got saved. They must be okay. Well, what is that? Well, it's pragmatism. It seemed to work. I mean, somebody got saved, so it must be okay. But then you wonder about the hundreds of people that came there that weren't saved, that may be on their way to hell because of the false image of God that they presented at that same concert. You know, and many times we've got to look beyond this little teeny, you know, eye hole that we're looking through. And we need to open up the Word of God and see God's perspective on things, which spans all of eternity. You know, imagine if a, you know, terrorist began walking through security and he's carrying a bomb with him. And he says, I'm really not a terrorist. I'm really not one. I mean, I know, you know, there's this, I mean, you know, where I come from, I mean, everybody does this kind of stuff. You know, I mean, everybody does this kind of stuff. In fact, I mean, I'm making a lot of money. I'm doing a lot of good doing this. You know, it's okay. Just let me through. Well, we think that's ridiculous. You know, but how often do Christians do that? I mean, all the other people are doing it. I mean, it can't be that bad. I mean, even some of them are making a lot of money doing it as well. But then you look around and you see all the casualties. You know, you see all the families. You see all the individuals that have been wrecked by those types of actions. And you find out that prosperity is not the standard. It is the Word of God that is our standard. I wonder, who have you identified yourself as at work? What kind of an identity do you have? You know, do you make the excuse, well, everybody else I know around does this kind of stuff, it must be okay. You know, young people, if you merely have the standards that you have because people around you are doing it, but you don't have it because it's in the Word of God, guess what's going to happen when you leave this place? You're going to probably get rid of those standards if you get into another place that has something different. Why? Because you're not getting it from the unchanging Word of God. You're getting it from people. Now, yes, we need to have the right examples. You know, the Bible, Paul talked about that. He said, hey, follow me even as also I also am a what? A follower of Christ. So I'm not talking that we shouldn't follow people in the sense that they're doing right, so I want to do right. But we need to make sure that our identity is not simply with people that are doing right, but our identity is with the Word of God. And Israel really gained their identity from the people around them. They gained their worship, you know, making the golden calf. Well, it was a pragmatic decision. We don't want the people to join up with Jerusalem again. I mean, join up with Judah again. So we're going to devise our own system of worship. Where do you get your standards from tonight? You know, the mega church is out there. Hey, look at all the people that are coming to our church. Must be okay. Well, no, doesn't measure up with God's word. And what was one of the big problems with what took place? Well, it says in the last verse of verse 12, it says, the last phrase, and his reproach shall his Lord, what, return unto him. You know, what kind of reproach had the children of Israel brought upon the name of God? Because the identity that they had with the world, with Jehovah, but yet they had perverted that identity through their actions. You know, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, think of the reproach here that David had brought upon the Lord because of his decisions. 2 Samuel 12, verse 14. Verse 13 and 14. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. You know, what kind of reproach, or are our lives bringing reproach unto the Lord? The children of Israel, that reproach was going to return back upon their own heads. And they were going to receive. So to speak, God's reward for their actions. And it was not going to be a good one. What's your identity like tonight? What are you known by? You know, you may think, oh, it's not that bad. I'm doing fine. You know, you look around at some of the other people around you. Maybe you're in the school and you look at some of the other kids in your class and you think, well, I'm not that bad. You know, but God's looking down from heaven and He knows your heart. He knows what's inside. And if you would take your life and open up the Word of God and compare it to the clear standard of God's Word, you would have a different impression, a different identity, so to speak, of who you are. Is your name bringing reproach to the name of Christ? Or is your life honoring and glorifying the God of heaven? Matthew chapter 5. Let your light so shine before men that they may what? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, is your life giving others a greater understanding of who our God is because of your identity and who you have identified yourself with and the reflection of Jesus Christ? His reflection is seen in your life. Our identity is extremely important. Our spiritual identity is very important. And we need to take it seriously tonight. What is your identity? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for, Lord, Your Word and, Lord, the examples that You've given to us. Lord, I pray that each one of us that would call ourselves a believer would truly search our hearts this evening. And are we truly portraying the identity that we say we have? Or are our actions portraying something else? Lord, are we bringing reproach upon Your name? Lord, or is our life bringing honor and glory to Your name? So that when people see our lives, Lord, they realize how great You are. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, you know, what's your identity like? What's your testimony, may we put it that way, like at work, at school? Is it one that is bringing honor and glory to the name of Christ? Or is it one that is bringing reproach to the name of our Lord? You know, how could you witness with maybe the identity that you have? Or maybe you do witness, but boy, your testimony doesn't back up the message that you're giving out. You say, you know, tonight the Lord is speaking to my heart and I want to get that taken care of. that I no longer bring reproach to his name. Is there anyone like that tonight? Lord, speaking to your heart about that. Okay. Anyone else? All right, I wonder tonight, is the problem in your life that you have a false identity? You're saying you're Christian, but you really aren't. And the reason that you aren't portraying the right identity is because you don't have it within you. Maybe tonight the Lord is speaking to your heart about salvation, and you realize your problem tonight is that you need to get saved. Is anyone like that tonight? The Lord is speaking to your heart. I wonder tonight, what about the fact that are you determining maybe you don't think your identity is that bad because you've simply been looking at those around you. Instead of looking into the Word of God, the mirror of God's Word, maybe you've had the wrong standard. Maybe you think, well, you know, things right now aren't going too bad. You know, when things are going bad, we tend to really look at ourselves and say, boy, what's wrong? But things seem to be going maybe okay in your life. So you've just kind of, you know, bypassed really thinking about where you're really at in life and allowing the Word of God to really speak to you. Maybe tonight you need to change the standard in your life from a pragmatic philosophy of, oh, if it's working out okay, I must be okay, to really allowing God's Word to determine the validity of your standing in life. Maybe you need to change the surroundings of your life tonight. Lord, I just pray that you would work in our hearts. Lord, may our lives be the testimony that you want them to be to the lost world around us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.